You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. They will steer you straight with a 39.95 wheel alignment. Check it out at lakewoodchev.com.
Ryan Rashog joins us from TSN. Shogger, I know Todd McClellan, who's usually very open about things, didn't want to get into specific lineups, but are you expecting Eberle to start on the fourth line?
Well, there was absolutely no way to tell today. I mean, frankly, there was just no way to, there were no line rushes. It was an optional skate. So it's purely speculation on my part, just as for you guys. I think he'll start there.
Yeah, me too.
And maybe have an opportunity to work his way up. But I think you have to flip the script a little bit on him. The last game, you give him the opportunity to start there. When it's not working, you make the move down the lineup. I think now it's time to send Jordan Eberle a message and make him work his way back up the lineup, challenge his pride a little bit. I think he needs to challenge him in this way and see if he can get a game out of him.
Is this a make or break kind of for Jordan Eberle as far as, you know, maybe moving ahead in his career here with Edmonton?
Oh, yeah. For sure it is. I mean, they have decisions to make. They've got real good players to hand lots and lots of money to. Future $10 million men here. So they have decisions to make. And I think it boils down to Nugent Hopkins, Eberle, and probably not being able to keep both, likely only able to keep one. And I mean, listen, as this playoffs has gone on, guys, it just seems to me that Eberle is solidifying it more and more and more. Now, maybe he can turn it around and maybe he can find it, and it's just a little bit of confidence. And in three games, moving on to the next round, we're talking about how well Jordan Eberle's playing suddenly. But for the first 10 games of the playoffs here, guys, it hasn't been great. So, yeah, I do think that Peter Chiarelli's, he's analyzing all of this, every game, and wondering how, I just wonder how you can look at what Eberle's done so far and think that guy has to be in the long-term plans.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of guys who need to play better in this postseason, and Eberle definitely
absolutely
is at the top of the list for sure. One guy who's played, I think, quite well, but because of who he's getting matched up against, you know, Larson and Klefbom, they're going to have to be better against Getzlaff tonight.
Yeah, and I wonder about McClellan's strategy heading into this game, and if he maybe wants to try one specific D pair more against Getzlaff rather than just being okay with either one of his top two pairings. I know Streds, we chatted about this yesterday. Is there a better matchup there? If they can take a little bit of time and energy and keep an eye on it and get a specific pairing out there against them, is it definitely Klefbom Larson, or do you go Sekera Russell? Or are they going to be okay with both guys? But no question, Larson's got to be better. He did not have a good game in game four. You can't be dashed for. You can't be out there for that many goals against. And especially when you're contributing to mistakes that are causing them. He needs to be better. That's why he was brought here, was for this very time, to play against the other team's best players. And not good enough last game, and I think he knows it. So it'll be interesting to see tonight.
You know, it's interesting, when we were down in the dressing room just talking to the guys, you could tell that both the Swedish defensemen, they were kind of, they're almost like, maybe embarrassed is a bit too strong of a word, but you could tell that they were uncomfortable talking about the way things have gone last game. And I, you know, Swedes are usually kind of understated. I expect these two guys to come out tonight and be very assertive, but especially from Larson, I think he will be aggressive. And we've seen him do that before. Am I off on that, Shogger? You're around the guys a lot more than I am.
No, I think your read on him is pretty good. I don't think he likes the way that went. I don't think he's a guy who has an issue looking in the mirror. I would expect him to be the aggressor tonight in some ways. They have to be careful. I mean, Getzlaff's one of those players, Studs, and you play against him, you know the way. You can't try and be overly physical on him unless you've got him right there lined up and ready to go. Because he bounces off guys, he can spin and then make a quick pass that nobody else saw was there. He can really hurt you if you overplay him. It's almost like containing is better than trying to take him out. And so I think they'll have to be careful about that. But I think you're right on Larson. That'll be his mindset heading in. I think he was embarrassed is too strong a word, but certainly disappointed with their performance. They were both in there today again, answering all the same questions again about their performance and about shutting down Getzlaff. So we're going to find out a little bit about what Adam Larson is made of, because he's been a consistent performer all year long. but he hasn't really had many nights where the finger gets pointed at him and people say he wasn't good enough. And now we're in the playoffs, and that's happened really for the first time, and he's been in the spotlight a little bit for it, including on an overtime winner against. And so we'll learn something about him tonight, I think.
Ryan Schrock from TSN joins us in Anaheim. Game 5 tonight, the Oilers and the Ducks. The Ducks got some injury issues. Kasha not back after Lucic took him out with the cross check, so it looks like Cardillis will be in the lineup tonight for them. The other potential bonus of having Eberle start on the fourth line, Ryan, is Pouliot shouldn't technically be a fourth line player, right? When you look at his overall career, same as Eberle, but that's where they are today for the Edmonton Oilers. The Ducks' bottom six hasn't done anything, and the weakest pure defender the Ducks have on their back end is Vatanen. And that matchup, Eberle and Pouliot, they got to find a take that advantage of it. And Desharnais is a guy who's had 60 and 50 points. Like, there's some potential offense there, you know, especially against the Ducks' bottom six. That line's got to do something for me.
Right. And then there's another possibility in terms of benefit of that move. And I know you guys will probably talk about this with Craig Button. I think he's coming on in a little bit. But I think the Oilers need to try and get McDavid some more minutes.
Oh, like, yeah.
23 minutes last game, which is lots. But you got Getzlaf up around 25, 26 minutes. I think what you could see tonight, and I asked McClellan if he needs to get McDavid more minutes today, and he talked about his stamina and how he can handle them, and the quality of his play stays fairly high, and I think he's considering it. What you could see Pouliot, McDavid, Eberle. You could see McDavid double shifted in Letestu's spot on that line once a period. Twice a period, maybe, here or there. And that's actually, if you think about what all three of those players have done through their careers, that could be a pretty dangerous line. So if you want to get McDavid more minutes, cut back Letestu's 5-on-5 minutes by shifting McDavid in there where you have the opportunity to do that. And then you got Eberle and McDavid together with Pouliot on the left side. That line could actually do a bit of damage, and it increases McDavid's minutes.
Yeah, I love that. I've actually taken a step further, Shogar. I would suggest, why not roll the Dutch line Danner in there every now and then? I think they got to get the big boy going some more. And I think when he gets more ice time, he tends to move his feet a little bit more. And I think putting both those guys, and I would just almost sit Desharnais for the first little while, have those guys out every other shift on either the regular line or on their other line. Crazy or not?
I think it's a good idea to get, certainly to get McDavid more minutes. Now, the one thing I'll say about that, now you were saying to go with Draisaitl as well?
Yeah, so sometimes, so if it's McDavid one shift, the next shift, Draisaitl is the center on that
right.
line.
Right. Okay, just switch it up. Sorry, I was just clarifying.
Yeah.
The one thing I have noticed with Draisaitl in the past is that if his minutes get pushed too high, some of the quality comes out of his game. That is, I know what you're saying about playing center instead of wing, but I don't think he can play 23 minutes a night. I don't know if you can pile those minutes onto Draisaitl at NHL pace. I think he's like 18 to 20 minutes or so per game is probably the sweet spot for him. Now, coming out of a commercial break, if you have an opportunity to give him a shift with the third line, then go for it. I think getting him at center ice a little bit, although he is actually playing a fair amount of center and in the defensive zone playing some center on the line with McDavid. But I do believe that they need to stop worrying so much about the matchup game and just roll McDavid out there. Like, think about it. You put McDavid on the ice and you force Randy Carlyle to make a decision. He's got to choose one of two things. He either needs to leave Ryan Getzlaf on the bench. So every time you put McDavid out there, Getzlaf stays on the bench, or he needs to abandon his game plan of hard matching Kessler against McDavid. So you put him in the decision-making position. Just keep rolling Connor McDavid out there over and over and over again. Start him at the start of every period. There's 9 commercial breaks through the game. Start him after every commercial break and give him a few shifts with the third line. He'll be up around 25 minutes, and you put the onus on Carlyle to decide how to handle that instead of sitting there trying to juke and dive around Kessler and then Carlyle's dictating to McClellan.
One final one, Nugent Hopkins. The last game, obviously, up until that, I thought he'd been playing pretty well, even though he hadn't scored, right? It's 10 games in now, and there hasn't been a goal. And know, early in the series, he was getting chances. He didn't get any chances really in Edmonton. All right, what do you make of Nugent Hopkins' overall play?
Well, I think there have been a couple of games where he's looked really dangerous and where he's had some good chances. I think that he has been of those three, he's been the best of them. Lucic, Eberle, and Nugent Hopkins, he's been the best of them. I think he's had the toughest assignment of them. And so I have less of an issue with where his game is at than the other two guys. With that said, I think he can do more than he's been doing. I agree with you. For some reason with him, it just seems to be about burying. Man, he goes into these stretches where he's had so much trouble burying. He's getting looks. He really is. I think he's been engaged. I think he's had a positive impact for the most part. He made the one mistake last game where he didn't move the puck quick enough when it was on his stick in front of the net, and that was definitely costly. He's not a great matchup against Ryan Getzlaff. He's not the answer to Getzlaff, but I think he's doing what he can, and I have far less of an issue with his game.
Schauger, have a good one. We will chat with you tomorrow. Enjoy the pregame meal in Anaheim.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Enjoy the game.